He was west of his base of operations, that's the city of Capernaum. And there Jesus sat on a mountainside and taught the multitude. Same place in which Jesus also fed 5,000. There Jesus told them, how do you function in this world today? His kernel of wisdom was always be the same person. Don't be one person in this situation and another person in this situation. The way in which Jesus framed it or shared it with us was this. Beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be noticed by them. Literally, Jesus is telling us, if you're going to serve God, serve God. Don't serve God for fame. Don't say you're serving God and then get money out of it. Don't serve God because you're getting pats on the back. Jesus is telling us, be consistent. Be consistent in your presentation. Who you are on the inside should be the same as who you present on the outside. What your world looks like interior, in your thoughts, in your emotions, should be the same as what you tell the world you're like. Jesus is literally saying, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be fake. Don't be false. Well, this is great advice for us. This is one of the great ways in which we can live. Jesus didn't just proclaim it to us. He also gave us an example. He showed it to us. He didn't say follow what he does, but listen to what he says, but don't do what he does. No, Jesus demonstrated that, and here he demonstrated on the last week of his life. You see, on that first Palm Sunday, as Jesus is at the top of the Mount of Olives, and it's a beautiful place to be, olive trees all the way down that walkway, you get to the Kidron Valley at the bottom, of which there's a stream down there, then you make your way back up the hill to Jerusalem. Up at the top of the Mount of Olives, it's even eye level, it's even with where Jerusalem sits across from you, the Golden City. As you look across, you see the Golden Gate, currently not closed, because on top of that sits the mosque. But in Jesus' day, it was open. And above that sat the temple that centuries earlier was put together. Jesus is sitting at the top of this mountain, getting ready to ride a donkey down the top of the Mount of Olives. He was there with many other pilgrims because it was Passover. It's estimated that during the Passover feast, as many as 1 million people poured into Jerusalem. It's not a very big city, by the way, folks. Not like D.C. or Baltimore. It's much smaller. But 1 million would gather in and around it to celebrate Passover. Passover is a meal that looks backwards and forwards all at the same time. It looks backward to remember how God freed them from slavery in Egypt, how God passed over them with the angel of death, freeing them so they could then go and live as free people. It looks forward, Passover does, because it's awaiting the arrival of the Messiah. So it's celebrating what God has done, and it looks forward, celebrating what God will ultimately do. Jesus is riding down the Mount of Olives with all these pilgrims to celebrate this incredible Passover moment. He's riding on a donkey. The crowds, who is a very festive crowd anyway, because it's a Passover, they recognize what Jesus was trying to tell them. They understood. And so they started to shout out to him, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now the word Hosanna means save me. They knew he was more than just a preacher. They were yelling, save us, you who are king. King along the line of David. The symbolism wasn't lost on them. They knew what Jesus was trying to say. They understood the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9, where it reads, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation. He is humble and mounted on a donkey. So the crowd, they were cheering their coming king. They saw this as an opportunity. They were celebrating that the Messiah, Jesus, was going to enter through the Golden Gate, because that's where the Messiah would enter Jerusalem when he ultimately came to set up the new kingdom. And in the middle of all this celebrating, and this cheering, the shouting and proclaiming, it would have been easy for Jesus to accept what they were telling him. It would have been easy for him to hear their words and then live according to their expectations. It was incredibly tempting. I am sure for this, because it's tempting when I get platitudes, when I get people saying how great I am, to believe I'm actually more than what I really am. It would have been easy. But you see, this would have been inconsistent with what Jesus taught, with Jesus' purpose. He didn't come to set up an earthly kingdom. That wasn't his purpose. He came to be the suffering servant, to die for our sins. It would have been understandable if Jesus had said, you know what? I'm going to do what they're asking. I've got a million people at my disposal right here. So let's get an army together. Let's get rid of the Romans. Let's set up that earthly kingdom. To listen to the crowds. To hear their fervor. To buy into the fame and popularity. It would have been unthinkable for Jesus to do that. But then Jesus would have been not who he was called to be. He would have not fulfilled his purpose. He came to Jerusalem not to set up the earthly kingdom. He came to Jerusalem not to sit on a throne made of human hands. He came to Jerusalem to be able to lift up us up out of our sins. You see, the problem with the crowd's understanding is they want someone who would feed them physically. God's understanding of Jesus, he would feed us spiritually. The earthly king might be able to save you from your enemies for a moment, might be able to feed you for the rest of your life, but could not benefit us spiritually. The earthly king might have had peace in this world, but never be able to give us peace for our souls. Jesus understood why he came. And consistent with everything he taught, and consistent with who he is, he was going to be the suffering servant. And you might be saying, what is that? It goes all the way back to Isaiah 53. 600 years before Jesus came, the prophet Isaiah said, this is what the Savior would do. This is what the Messiah would fulfill. Let me read just a small portion. This comes from Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 5. Truly he's borne our infirmities. He's carried our diseases. We accounted him stricken, struck down by God, afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. Through his stripes, we are healed. And it goes on throughout the rest of that passage to explain what the suffering servant would look like, what Jesus would be. What we celebrate this time of year is the fact that indeed Jesus came to be our Savior. That's what this walk through this Holy Week is all about. We're grateful that he was faithful to his task. The crowds weren't thinking that way. Folks, the crowds went an earthly king. They wanted someone to put food on their tables. And when Jesus did not conform to their earthly expectations, when Jesus did not fit their understanding, they turned their back on him. And they turned their back on him with a vengeance. Those who cheered and proclaimed and shouted Hosanna on Sunday, in 4 short days, they were saying, crucify him, because he wouldn't do what we wanted him to do. Even to prove that, rather than say, hey, God is our king, no. They said, this is not a king of ours. We have no king but Caesar. Crowds are fickle. They didn't want to say, they wanted someone to fit their needs, their purpose, their understanding. So on this Palm Sunday, as we wave our palms that we all got, by the way, if you didn't get it, palm crosses are available. Gather them up as you go out. As we wave our palm crosses, remember, we are all susceptible to what this crowd did. We all can fall into this trap. It's often easy that when we don't get what we want, when Jesus doesn't fit our understanding of what a Savior could be, when he didn't answer our prayer this way, that often humans turn their back on God. They turn their back on Jesus. Jesus said, years earlier, be consistent with who you are. As you believe, so you shall live. Jesus is consistent. He's never varied from what he's done for us. Jesus is the same yesterday as he is today and tomorrow. That's one of our scriptures. Yesterday, he loved us even when we were failures, morally. He loved us even when we didn't think of him. He still loved us. Sent that compassion down into us. Surrounded us with family and friends. Gave us a beautiful world to live in. Provided for us, even though we were like a crabs. Today, we have the opportunity to make all that right. We can be with him at the cross. And he'll still be consistent with us. He will still love us through our pain, in the midst of our difficulty. Even when we feel life is closing around us and we're being crushed by that life, he'll still be there, sending his love out to us. And because he was there in the past and he's present with us, we know that in the future, we can trust that he truly will be there for us always, as he's preparing an eternal life for us. I tried to look for an example for this, and actually came up with one. It was Bishop Desmond Tutu. He was a person who lived in South Africa, helped transform that society. As he was growing up, he never realized how oppressed the society that existed around him was. You know, when you're little, if you're poor, you never really know you're poor. You just think that's the way life is. But as he started to grow up, he realized there were two classes in South Africa. And it was based on the color of your skin. Desmond Tutu was black, lived in a segregated society. The white society then ruled, told the black people where they should live. They told them what jobs they could have. They oppressed them economically as well as socially. Tutu decided then to make a difference in society. He didn't take up arms. He took up a pen. He became a teacher. He was a teacher of English and a teacher of history. By the way, if you ever want to transform your life, teach them history. Because they'll know what failures we've had in the past, hopefully we don't commit the same in the future. Tutu realized that, by the way, history was, he needed some more compounding to it. So he went in and became a minister in the Anglican Church. Rather than rebel with the sword, rebel with the gun, he was a Christian. He understood Jesus' way of transforming society, one heart at a time, not killing the overclass, transforming them through love. And so he went back and became a minister. He rose to the height in 1975 of being bishop over the city of Johannesburg. He shared equality from his new found position, position where he could speak. He was tempted, consistently. You read his autobiography, he was tempted to fight back with the same force that his oppressors did. And all you would do is just replace one oppressive class with another. He preached Christianity. He, along with Nelson Mandela and others, transformed South Africa to where now it's a truly free society. There are many Desmond Tutu quotes. I looked up and all of a sudden, a whole page of them. I'm like, which one would fit? Here's the one I found. It fits who we are, of being consistent in our world today. Consistent when fame and fortune come, or consistent when life has crushed us. That's what Jesus showed to us. Here's his quote from Desmond Tutu. Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. Y'all hear that? Hope is being able to see light when there's darkness all around us. This is a week that demonstrates that to us. Here we celebrate on Palm Sunday. We wave our palm crosses. Jesus is King. And then we get to the idea that he teaches us some hard stuff on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday morning. Hard stuff is how we are to be effective in this world, how we're to be Christians in this world. Thursday, he washed the disciples' feet. He showed true humility. Then he was arrested, went through a mockery of a trial. And on Friday, we call good, he was crucified on the cross for us. That's a dark night. It should have been Bad Friday. That's what we should call it. Because the Savior of the world was killed. We call it Good Friday because of this cross and the Savior who hung on it, we are now forgiven. In the deepest, darkest hole, that's Good Friday. We oversee light. Because God is the same yesterday as he is today, as he will be tomorrow. On Friday they despaired, but Easter Sunday came. And there God raised Jesus from the grave, and we now can commune with him now and forever. Remember, hope is the ability to see light, even in the deepest darkness. That's what Easter Sunday tells us. That's what Jesus showed to us. And when we're consistent, we will love God through all of our stuff because God loves us through all of our stuff. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, God, that you're so wonderful to us. Your love is consistently poured out to us. What a gift that is. May we be the same. May we love consistently. May we share compassionately. May we demonstrate we belong to you, whether things are hard or things are rolling good. May we show that your love, that we understand it, that we live it, that we know it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.